Hi there, this is Eric Cohen, music director of WAER and host of our weekly podcast, Jazz Journeys, right here on WAER.org. This is part two of a special interview I conducted with the legendary Bob Dureau, who celebrated his 90th birthday back in December and has recently released a new album called Eulalia. Bob and I covered a lot of topics. We couldn't get to all of them in the last episode of Jazz Journey, so we're going to pick up where we left off. And one of the questions I had to ask Bob was his assessment and his definition of the term vocalese.
Well, I always felt that it was the wrong term because vocalese was like, the classical piece by Villa-Lobos. He had I can't think of the name right now, but he's a composer from South America, and he composed something where he used a soprano, and she was singing, but she had no words. Mm. So, she's just singing the melody. Ooh, however it goes. Anyway, Bacchianos Brasileiros, I think it was. Mm. Anyway, it's a famous piece, and he called it vocalese, where the singer is singing without words. Now, oddly enough, somehow someone started calling setting a jazz recording to lyrics as vocalese. And, of course, I used to listen to the radio, Symphony Sid in New York City.
Sure.
In the 49, 50, and 51. And I was highly inspired and amused and elated by Annie Ross and King Pleasure. So I thought, well, okay, so that's a new idea. Of course, John Hendrix is a champion merely by the voluminous output. And I haven't done that many of them. I almost prefer to, just make my own songs that are sort of like hip, vocalese, bebop, and yet they're tunes, they're songs. But anyway, it was only because I revered Charlie Parker so much, and he died in March of 1955. And that's when I said to myself, well, I'm going to do what Annie did and take his Yardbird Suite. Now, Yardbird Suite was slightly atypical of Charlie Parker's compositions. In fact, it was a song.
Mm.
Carmen McRae sang it like a love song. I go through life, da-da-da-da-da-da. Something like that. And she said at one point that Charlie Parker wrote the lyrics too. However, I didn't even know that at the time. To me, it was just a riff that we all played, trying to be like Diz and Bird and Miles and play bebop. So we all knew Yardbird Suite. And I took that one and made it kind of his life story.
That's Bob Dureau talking about the classic song Yardbird Suite, which appears on Bob's very first album, Devil May Care. Well, the reverence that Bob Dureau had for Charlie Parker, he also had for Miles Davis. And Bob, in his career, had the chance to get to know and work with the legendary trumpeter. In fact, Bob wrote a song called Blue Christmas, which was released on Columbia's Jingle Bell Jazz compilation. And actually, Bob Dureau became one of the very few musicians with a vocal performance that appeared on a Miles Davis record. His song Nothing Like You appeared on Miles's Sorcerer album. I asked Bob, how did it all start between you and Miles Davis? And I'll let Bob take it from there.
Well, he was difficult to know in New York, when I was more or less a student and just jamming and trying to learn to play. We would go hear the masters when we had a few dollars. And you would hear Miles and, you'd try to say, hey, man, that was great. Miles, I love that set. But he wouldn't talk to anyone. He would just bolt out the door after the set, or he would walk on by you. He wouldn't pay much attention. Actually, I wrote a little book about my Miles Davis story. It's called Blue Xmas. And it's actually my recounting of the whole episode. But it went on for a while, and then there I was in Los Angeles, and we had a mutual friend, Miles and I did. And Miles stayed in this house in Laurel Canyon, and he didn't seem to like hotels. He always crashed with someone. And in that house was my friend, singer, Terry Morrell from Philly. And she knew nearly everybody in the jazz world because as a young singer in Philadelphia, she went to every show, and they had a couple of jazz clubs. But anyway, she knew Miles, and he came up to visit with her. And now, Terry always kept Devil May Care, the LP, on her shelf, right in front of everything else. So there I was. You might know the cover with the target, and I'm wearing a tux.
Yeah.
And I'm looking right at you.
Right.
So one day Miles said he had a three-week engagement in L.A. He said, "What's that?" And she said, "That's my pal Bob Darrow. He writes songs, plays piano, sings." And then he said, "Let me hear some." Now, she recounted to me that he listened to the whole album. That's hard to believe. Maybe he liked my trumpet player. But when she said that to me, now, I wasn't even going to go to his gig because, you know, I'd heard him so much in New York, and I knew Coltrane and Cannonball. I knew all the guys in the band except Miles. But when she told me that, I said, "Let's go to the gig tonight." So I took her to the club, and sure enough, there's Miles walking around while the band is playing the middle part of the song. And she said, "Miles, this is the guy I was telling you about." So he came over to me, and you know, I'd expect him to say, "Pleased to meet you, Bob," or "I like that LP." But instead, he grabbed me by my left wrist and whispered in my ear. He said, "Bob, go up and sing Baltimore Oriole."
Well, I certainly couldn't let my interview with Bob Darrow conclude without asking him the question that he's been asked probably thousands of times, and that is what he's perhaps best known for, and that is being the voice and primary composer of so many of the songs used in Schoolhouse Rock, the series of educational animated shorts that appeared on Saturday morning television in the 1970s and 80s on ABC affiliates in the United States. And I had to ask Bob if he ever imagined back in that day that some 40 plus years later, his songs, such as Three is a Magic Number, are still such an important part of the fiber of American popular culture.
I never imagined, and of course, the original idea was just to make a phonograph record and maybe a workbook or something to go with it and sell it to schools and libraries and affluent parents or whatever. That was McCall's idea. So I had a free hand, and I've always had a nice sense for math, sort of a natural one, and I did a little studying.
Mm-hmm.
And Three is a Magic Number was the first one I presented to them. Again, that took me about 2 weeks before I would dare take it into them. Now, Ben Tucker and I had been attempting, we were both trying to make a living, you know. It was kind of lean for jazz musicians who weren't big stars like Miles. But he and I did a few jingles that we were composing. Actually, he would book them and get the gigs, and I would write the jingles. And so this connection led us to David B. McCall, who had a nice little ad agency. But this was just a non-ad agency project that David McCall wanted to do because his little boys couldn't memorize the times tables.
Right, right.
They sing along with Jimi Hendrix and the Rolling Stones, he said. They get their words, so how about it? So, of course, I didn't know what to think at first, but he said, "Don't write down." It turns out that he had already contacted a couple of other jingle composers, and they all made the mistake of thinking it had to be simple drivel, monotonous rhythm, monotonous tunes and things like that. In other words, they underwrote. And so that inspired me greatly, and I thought a whole lot about what it was going to be. And I picked three as my first attempt.
So as we conclude this edition of Jazz Journeys and we go out with some Bob Dureau music, I remind you this is April. So celebrate Jazz Appreciation Month. And remember, jazz, born in America, enjoyed worldwide. Just four letters, but infinite possibilities. This is Eric Cohen. Until next time.
It takes three wheels to make a vehicle called a tricycle. Every triangle has three corners. Every triangle has three sides. No more, no less. You don't have to guess. When it's three, you can see it's a magic number. A man and a woman had a little baby. Yes, they did. They had three in the family. That's a magic number. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30.
Multiply backwards from 3 times 10.
3 times 10 is 30. 3 times 9 is 27. 3 times 8 is 24. 3 times 7 is 21. 3 times 6 is 18. 3 times 5 is 15. 3 times 4 is 12. 3 times 3 is 9. 3 times 2 is 6. And 3 times 1 is 3, of course.
Now take the pattern once more. 3.
3, 6, 9.
12.
12, 15, 18.
21.
21, 24.